Lake Charles.
Hello and welcome to Bayou de Beltway. I'm your host, Pearson Cross. Today we're joined by Kevin Blanchard, who is the Chief Operating Officer for Southern Lifestyle Development. He hasn't always had that job. We are going to talk about something that he's been very involved with, thinking about and writing about, and of course that is Lafayette Parish consolidation, taxes, and all those kinds of issues. Mr. Blanchard was born in Sulphur. He went to high school at the best high school, he tells me, in Louisiana, Byrd High School in Shreveport. He got a mass comm degree at LSU and then went on for about 10 years and worked in advertising for the writing for The Advocate. He went back to school, getting a law degree in 2011, worked with Anna Bain Law, before joining the city parish under the Durrell administration as chief development officer and then later as public works director. He left that after Joey Durrell left and is now chief operating officer, as I said, at Southern Lifestyle Development, where he manages their day-to-day operation. He has three children and is married. Welcome to the show.
Thanks. Good to be here.
Thanks for coming on. You came to my attention, and probably the attention of a lot of other people, as a result of an article that you wrote in The Current recently, dealing with the question of the failure of the library tax and suggesting some interesting divides between those in inside and outside Lafayette City in terms of how the voting went. So what did you find out when you dug into the numbers?
So, you know, I think like a few people, after the election that Saturday night, I was, you know, a little bit, I guess, downtrodden, like a little worried about what that might have meant. So so I just spent a little bit of time on Sunday morning looking through the numbers, going precinct by precinct, yes, no votes, and then taking and matching that up with a map of Lafayette. And what I found was, you know, there were 45 precincts that voted yes, right, where a majority of the voters there were in agreement of the renewal, and 40 of those 45 precincts were in the city of Lafayette. And so very few precincts outside of the city of Lafayette actually supported the library tax. And so I think that's important. If you look at other similar issues, there's a same general pattern. The school tax wasn't quite as direct that, you know, the school tax that failed last year wasn't quite as direct, but there was still a same general pattern. And what worried me is that I have a lot of friends who were pretty upset after that tax, and I started hearing people kind of, you know, kind of lash out, kind of be angry about, like, well, what does this mean? You know, why are the people out in the parish doing this, right? And so I think that's an important question to think about is, sort of what is our relative position when it comes to the, you know, this big experiment that we have that is consolidated government.
So we're asking, what does this mean? So what does it mean, in your view, that people inside Lafayette City, the city limits, not the parish limits, but inside the city limits would be supportive of a library renewal tax, and also supportive of a new tax for schools, whereas people outside the city limits wouldn't, because we are in Lafayette City Parish. We do have a consolidated government. So what does that mean? What did you find out?
So what I think it means, you know, I tell people, and I tried to capture this in the column that I wrote, I think that we all have the same general values. You know, we all value education. You know, there weren't people that were, I think there were probably very few people that were voting against the library renewal because they hate books or don't like libraries, you know, or they're in favor of, you know, illiteracy. You know, I think that we all, like, have the same core values that just we share as humans, right? Safety and having our children grow up in a better place with a better life than we did. The problem is we have different priorities. You know, we just see the world from a different perspective. And, you know, for a lot of people, outside of the city of Lafayette, they have a different day-to-day. You know, they're more worried and concerned about drainage, you know, because those are the lower parts of the parish that experienced a lot of flooding a couple years ago. They're more concerned about traffic because they live, you know, further away from where they work and they spend a good amount of time every day in their cars. I'm okay. I live in the middle of the city right by downtown. I'm okay if the government comes in and enforces a lot of zoning regulations and imposes a tax to, you know, help with, you know, bike lanes and everything else that help me get around the way I'd like to get around, my family get around. People who live outside of the city, in large part, live outside of the city because they don't see those things as something that are important to them, and that's fine. Like, they've placed themselves in a different place. There's nothing wrong with that. The problem, though, is that because of consolidation, these types of things that we only experience as voters maybe once or twice every year, right, the school tax or the library tax, these big parish-wide issues that we disagree on, that happens on every day in consolidated government. You know, the city parish council every day is deciding matters that are a different priority to the city as they would be to people in the parish. And they're doing so in this same sort of like parish-wide system. You know, we say that we have a city parish council, but we really don't. You know, we have a parish council. Those nine members are all elected from districts that are drawn parish-wide. It's the same kind of district setup that the school board has. You know, our mayor president is elected parish-wide. And so, you know, unlike the cities of Youngsville or Broussard or Scott or Carencreux or Doosan, who have their own sort of local representation, who can reflect the priorities of the folks that elected them to that position, right? The city of Lafayette doesn't have that.
You know, in my state and local government classes, I always teach that there's a reason why people live in unincorporated areas or outside of city limits, and that's because, frankly, they don't want to be bothered. Mm-hmm. Being told, you know, where to burn their trash or when to run their dirt truck or just basically that it's a more freedom thing. And the people that choose to live inside cities, in fact, you know, are okay with that. And you're putting that in terms of priorities. So you would give up the right to burn your trash if you live in the city, but you'd feel like, hey, I got sidewalks. You
sure.
Know? Well, maybe not in Lafayette, but,
right.
You know, in most
in theory.
Places, in theory, you would. But the problem is we're kind of odd bedfellows is what you're saying. So this consolidation has placed people with fundamentally different priorities into the same governmental structure.
Correct.
Where we have to wrestle with each other over these issues. And so then when we get an issue like school taxes or we get an issue like the library tax, then we, you know, cast stones. You know, we say, you don't care about this. You don't care what kind of humans are you. So when in fact you're saying, well, it's not really that. It's more governmental and structural at this point. So that being said, you know, hasn't this been tried before? Didn't we revisit the consolidation before? I mean, did it not fail? What's going on?
So consolidation has been around since 1996. If you talk to the folks who were on the original Charter Commission back then, they would tell you that they never thought that the work was over, right? There was kind of that first movement to consolidate the services that government provides, but we still pay separate city taxes and separate parish taxes, right? I live in the city of Lafayette, so I pay parish taxes and city taxes. People outside of the city of Lafayette in the unincorporated areas, you know, pay their own. And so there was some dissatisfaction over the years. There's been, you know, some concerns. You've got LUS, for example, which is a city-owned municipal, you know, utility that the city ratepayers, the city taxpayers own. But the parish council as a whole still votes on what they can do with their rates, what they can do with their money. You know, the police department, for example, folks on the parish council vote on police pay raises and everything else, you know, because they do have a handful of city people in their districts. So back in 2011, there had been a charter commission called. They convened, they debated for several months. And then in the end, they just couldn't come up with kind of a compromise position, right? In the end, I think they out of a little bit of frustration and a little bit of like, we got to come up with something, or, you know, we've been talking about this forever, they just proposed deconsolidation. And my good friend Bruce Conk and my good friend Don Bakke went out and kind of had a, what I thought was a pretty cool public discussion about the matter. And they kind of jointly would go together and do the point counterpoint to different groups. But that would have, that was a deconsolidation. That was, you know, going back to the old city charter and the old parish charter. And I think that for a lot of voters, because it failed pretty big, actually. It was, I think, 63% voted against it. I think for a lot of voters, it was kind of like, look, you just – you skipped right to the divorce. You didn't try to go to marriage counseling. You know, there are some benefits. We're a small parish geographically. There are some benefits to having one public works department and one parks and rec department, you know. So so a couple years after that, I was part of a chamber task force that tried to reignite the discussion. Bruce and Don were among the people who were on that task force with us. And we proposed to the council what would be a compromise position, which was basically, let's just split who can vote on city taxes. If, you know, let's form a council that has pure city representation and pure parish representation, and the folks that have city districts, you know, 100% city districts, they control the city taxes, city matters, and then everybody together votes on parish matters. At the time, the, you know, we have what I like to say five mostly city councilmen right now, women whose districts encompass some portion of the city of Lafayette, and, you know, Bruce Conk is the only councilman who actually doesn't have any non-City of Lafayette people in his district. District 6 is the only 100% City of Lafayette district. But in 2013, when we brought to the council this idea of recalling the Charter Commission to support, to go see if this idea would fly, the only four out of the five mostly city council people voted for it. And so that measure didn't pass. Andy Nockan, actually, who represented District 6, the city district, was the no vote there. And then the four, you know, mostly parish guys voted no as well. There has been talk about, you know, having a second try at that. You know, I think that probably it's a little premature to talk specifics, but I'm hopeful that, you know, people will continue to try, because ultimately I don't think that the folks who voted against that were necessarily coming from a position of, you know, malice or ill will. I just don't think that, you know, we've done a good job kind of explaining like the inherent unfairness of the entire situation.
We are talking today on Bayou de Beltway with Kevin Blanchard. We are going to talk some more when we come back.
You can skip the hassle of finding a buyer for that unwanted car. Just donate it to KRVS and turn it into a tax deduction. Or maybe you've got a truck or a boat or an RV you don't want anymore. Donate it to KRVS. It's very easy, and it helps to support KRVS. A toll-free number and link to the vehicle donation page is on our website, krvs.org, or simply call 877-KRVS-887.
I'm Lisa Mullins. PRI's The World brings you more than just the day's news.
In Cameroon, we have 260 languages.
We introduce you to people around the globe.
For a country like Iran, where you cannot really mingle with people outside your house,
it is giving hope to Turkish people.
There's one Chinese saying, everyone wants to be a rich guy, right?
Join us and hear the world.
Monday through Thursday afternoon at 2 here on KRVS.
Hi, and welcome back. I'm Pearson Cross, your host. We're on Bayou de Beltway, and with us today is Kevin Blanchard, who is Chief Development Officer for a corporation. And we are talking about, however, we're talking about issues having to do with consolidation and tax issues and so on. We're circling around the city-parish kind of divide, and we noted that the consolidation was made in 1996. There's some problems with that, though. It's kind of like original sin. As I look back and think about consolidation, It seems like it should have had an escape clause in there, which is that if the cities that are within the area contained in Lafayette Parish don't fully consolidate, if the police department, the sheriff's department, and all that, if it doesn't become truly consolidated, it should agree to split up and go their own way. But in fact, that's not what happened, right? So instead, we have this kind of oddly hybrid consolidated government. Is there any fix for that oddly for that oddly divided or city parish government where different entities have different responsibilities, but funding responsibilities are kind of across city parish and so on? I mean, is there a reasonable way out of this mess? I mean, I know the voters rejected divorce, but sometimes,
you know, I think one of the ideas that's been floated for a little bit is to separate and have a separate city council and a separate parish council. And the idea there would be, okay, you know, we're collecting city taxes and we're collecting parish taxes, but why don't we just make it fair as to who is actually spending that money, right? You know, so if your constituents are the ones who imposed a city sales tax upon themselves, then only they should have representation on how that money is spent, right? I think there's a big argument that could be made that kind of the ongoing funding issues on the parish general fund side are exacerbated because the parish isn't given its attention, like 100% attention as a whole by people who represent only the parish, right? I mean, it's not working for city folks, and I don't think it's working for people that are outside of the city of Lafayette either, you know? But when you think about it, we've got the bulk of the budget and the bulk of the work that happens at the city parish council level is dealing with city money. You know, LUS is a big example of that. But so much of that work out in the parish just isn't happening, you know, and there's a dwindling resources. So I think you can start there. I think you could look at the allocation, right? There's parish money right now that because of the way we kind of split between the city and the parish and we allocate different monies to different functions, there's parish money that's going to the International Trade Center, right? I think if we're talking about different priorities, you know, there might be some folks who have different priorities there, right? I think that when we've muddled everything up, we've kind of lost sight of what the basic functions of government are and what we expect out of, you know, respectively out of each. The proposal that has kind of been floated around would still maintain consolidated government, one public works department, one parks and rec department, and would still maintain the mayor president seat. So there would be one executive over, you know, each of the entities. And it really gets to the core of my old boss used to say representation without taxation, right? Like we're you know, letting folks who don't pay the taxes decide how we spend the money.
Well, if there were, say, for example, a Lafayette City Council, do you think now that body would just talk about things that happen inside Lafayette City that maybe would have sole authority over LUS, maybe would be able to pass tax initiatives in the city, but obviously that wouldn't affect the parish. So are people like that plan? Is that a plan that's met with some popularity?
I think that the only thing going against a plan like that is that it's complicated. Right, it's difficult to explain.
The current system is pretty complicated.
It is too, right? And when people say, "Well, it's consolidated," and you go, "Well, not really," right? And so, you know, I think that the people who are involved in the day-to-day operations of government see the wisdom in that. I think it's doable. Frankly, I think it's the compromise position that we should decide as a parish, right? That we want to try to make this fix. To try to make this thing work. But I do know that the current system is probably untenable. You know, the parish, the population outside of the city of Lafayette is growing every year. And there's a good possibility that maybe this census, maybe the next, the city of Lafayette will be outnumbered when it comes to the rest of the parish.
Let's return that, because one of the alternatives, as I understand it, is to create districts that are solely within the city of Lafayette, which works fine as long as Lafayette City has a overall majority in terms of population of the parish. But if, let's say, you would do that in order to give Lafayette five votes in Lafayette City and five votes in terms of matters like that, The demographics are against it because there are more and more people growing outside of the city than inside the city. So then wouldn't that ultimately be undermined by that kind of demographic pressure?
Yeah, that's a real problem. You know, I think that the inherent unfairness of that has to be pretty obvious to everybody, right? That there could be a potentiality that while the people in the city of Lafayette pay more in taxes, they obsess themselves more, their property values are higher because of places like downtown, that they would actually lose control of how that money is spent.
What are some of the big issues here? I mean, are we missing out in terms of vision with the parish or development? I'm thinking here of the connector of economic development and a number of things. While we have this kind of problematic squabble with funding and taxes and all that stuff.
Sure. You know, the old federal building downtown is kind of an example of this. That issue has languished a long time. And my friend Jay Castile, who's on the council, and he is my friend, he and I very much disagree on that issue, right? But from Jay's perspective, he's a parish councilman, and he needs to think about what to do with the parish courthouse. And so long as the old federal building is a viable replacement for that site, he can't see letting that go, right? He's got different priorities as a parish councilman, but that's a city-owned property. The old federal building is owned by the city. He has the ability to vote then and to kind of be able to bring about a deal based on his authority over that city property because he's trying to fulfill a parish purpose. If you had just a city council, I think it's probably more likely that that property would have been put back into commerce years ago. And hopefully, you know, Jay, as a parish councilman only, if we had a separate parish council, would have been able to find another avenue to solve his parish courthouse problem. And it's our parish courthouse problem, right? But again, different priorities.
It's funny how certain landmarks or certain issues become the kind of thing that you hear about all the time. Because I've heard more talk about that old federal court building. You know, it's like, good grief. You know, you would think it's the only building in downtown Lafayette.
It's symbolic, though, right?
Yes.
I mean, it's a city-owned block that everybody has talked about for more than a decade that has this great potential. And I think in large part because of our current system of government, we've been not able to get off of square one.
How would you respond to the contention that, say, the Karen Crow, Broussard, Youngsville, and so on are kind of getting a ride on Lafayette City's purse strings right now and are, in fact, enjoying an advantageous relationship by staying in consolidation?
So I actually think that those separate municipalities in some degree are facing the same issue that the city of Lafayette is when it comes to parish funding. Because the parish general fund is so small, we effectively, and I mean we as a parish, only really spend money in the unincorporated parts of the parish. And so as a city of Lafayette resident, I say I pay a lot of parish taxes and all that money gets spent in the unincorporated areas. People in Broussard, Karen Crow, Youngsville, Scott, they can say the same thing. You know, their parish taxes are also not spent within the cities.
That seems unfair.
It does.
So what do you know offhand? Do you have a rough figure on that? What is it, about 20 to 25% of the parish now is unincorporated, not contained in?
I think it's approaching 30%.
30% is unincorporated.
Population-wise.
So most of the parish taxes, most of the general fund right now is going to provide services in terms of those 30% unincorporated areas.
Mm-hmm. All of the undedicated funds, things that aren't already, you know, kind of earmarked for some particular kind of spending, that general fund has to prop up the services that we're providing in the incorporated area.
So, and this is a drum that Bruce Conk's been beating for a while, which is that this is a financially untenable situation that's getting worse. So we're kind of robbing from different municipalities and from the city in order to kind of prop the parish up, but the parish, at the same time, the voters in the incorporated area are kind of resisting fixes to that problem.
Mm-hmm.
So where do you go from here? You're involved with One Acadiana. Does One Acadiana have a coherent view about all this?
So before the last election, as part of the last city parish council and mayor's elections in 2015,
mm-hmm.
the chamber adopted a position called Priorities for a Better Lafayette, I think. And one of the tenets of that was that we need to fix the charter. You know, I think that when you see folks who are you know, kind of dissatisfied with the way that the government is working from their perspective. And then you look at the type of system we've built. Well, no wonder they're not satisfied. It's confusing, you know, and it's difficult to hold people accountable for, you know, the problems that they see when it's difficult to know who even represents them and why and with what pot of money is this supposed to be paid for or not, right? And so I think broadly the chamber supports the position of making sure that the charter is something that's working for everybody and not in the way of progress.
Right. That's got to be the confusing structure, and this is what the report says. The current structure of consolidated government streamlines services and provides for executive leadership through a single parish president, but it does not include a city parish council that adequately represents the interests of either the city or the parish.
Correct.
You know, it seems to me that our complicated and incomplete form of consolidation with all these floating municipalities, the 30% of the parish that's unincorporated, the different taxes and so on, that's got to be confusing for voters. And it's also got to undermine support for tax measures because voters, quite rightly, can't figure out where the money's going, who's collecting the money, where it's going to be spent, what their portion is it fair to them, and so on.
Right. I think anytime you're in a discussion and you're having to make a very, very complicated point in a public forum, you're at a disadvantage. And I think that that's kind of the place that LCG has put itself in the last 20 years.
Yeah. So if you think about terms of communication, and you have a degree in communication from LSU, that would be so. The communication that says taxes are bad is certainly more potent, punchy, and straightforward than the communication that, well, the funding structure for the consolidation
right.
government is not working the way it's currently set up because we split, you know, on and on and on, right?
Once you have to start drawing pictures and a flow chart and everything else, you've probably lost the argument.
Well, let's talk about this in terms of the future. Are we likely to see – is it going to get worse before it gets better? And are we going to see more issues break along the same parish-city line?
You know, I think that there has been talk about some measures this fall to fund the courthouse and jail and sheriff's operations. I suspect that there could still be that same lingering issue, but I hope not, you know, because ultimately – we've got a lot of problems we need to fix, you know, and that's one of them. So I would much rather we spend a good amount of time in the next few months actually trying to clean up this mess of consolidation and then see if we can help out with the bigger messages later.
Well, the thing that we haven't talked about, of course, is that we kind of have a new player in parish politics, and that, of course, are the PAC that is advocating specifically and forcefully against these kind of tax initiatives.
Mm-hmm.
So that's changed the balance, too, in terms of what can and what can't happen. Have you heard anything about pushback on that, or is that just a fact of life going forward?
I think it's a fact of life. And, you know, going back to simple arguments like just – they're the citizens against taxes. Like, that's a pretty easy position to plant a flag on and defend. And I'm never against, like, a public debate. So, you know, the more the merrier.
We're closing up now. Just a couple of seconds. Where should citizens go if they want to know more about these issues?
You know, right now, we're working on that. So stay tuned.
Stay tuned. All right. Well, thanks. We've been talking today with Kevin Blanchard, who is Chief Operating Officer for Southern Lifestyle Development and also an expert and a player in the consolidation issues roiling Louisiana and Lafayette politics. Thanks for coming to the show.
Thanks. It was fun.
Bayou to Beltway is copyrighted by KRVS for the private use of its audience. Any other use of any portion of this program without written consent of KRVS is prohibited. The views expressed on this program are those of the participants and do not necessarily reflect the views of KRVS, its officers, or members. To listen to a podcast of the interview we just heard, go to krvs.org.
Bonjour and hello. Listen to the Franco Mix at 9 p.m. on Thursdays with Drake Benoit LeBlanc, exclusively on KRVS 88.7. Esse formidable.
Thank you. Imagine a world where you're walking down the street.
And you just can't tell if someone is 80 or 180 years of age. It'll seem like aging was a quaint idea of the 20th century.
Welcome to the future. I'm Guy Raz, searching for the fountain of youth. That's next time on the TED Radio Hour from NPR.
8 o'clock tonight on KRVS.
This is KRVS 88.7 FM, Lafayette, Lake Charles.